What am I to do with it?
Rule over it.
Finn had been standing behind me, but he stepped closer, moving next to me.
Make the decisions. Keep the peace. Declare the wars.
Declare the wars? I looked at him sharply. That's really something we do? He shrugged. I don't understand, I said.
Most things will already be decided when you take the throne,
Finn said, staring down at the houses instead of me.
The order is already in place. You just have to uphold it, enforce it. Mostly, you live in the palace, attend parties, trivial governmental meetings, and occasionally decide on something substantial.
Like what? I asked, not liking the hard tone his voice had taken on.
Banishments, for one.
He looked thoughtful.
Your mother once banished a Marxina. It hadn't been done in years, but she's entrusted with making the decisions that best protect our people and our way of life.
Why did she banish her? I asked.
She corrupted a bloodline.
He didn't say anything for a minute, and I looked at him questioningly.
She had a child with a human.
I wanted to ask him more about that, but I felt a drop of rain splash on my forehead. I looked up to the sky to be certain I'd felt rain, and the clouds seemed to rip open, pouring water down before I had a chance to shield myself.
Come on!
Finn grabbed my hand, pulling me. We slid down the side of the rock, my back scraping against the rough surface of it, and fell heavily into a thicket of ferns. Rain had already soaked through my clothes, chilling my skin. Still holding my hand, Finn led me to shelter underneath a giant pine tree. That came on really suddenly, I said, peering out from under the branches. We weren't completely dry under the tree, but only a few fat drops of rain made their way through.
The weather is so temperamental here. The locals blame it on the river, but the Trill have more to do with it,
Finn explained. I thought back to Willa and her complaint that she could only control the wind, and her mother, the clouds. The garden behind the palace bloomed year-round thanks to Trill abilities, so it wouldn't be hard to fathom that they could make it rain, too. The birds had fallen silent, and over the sound of the rainfall, I couldn't hear the river. The air smelled thick with pine, and even in the middle of the rainstorm, I felt oddly at peace. We stood there watching the rain in companionable silence for a while longer. But soon the growing chill began to affect me, and my teeth started to chatter.
You're cold.
I shook my head. I'm fine. Without further prompting, Finn put his arm around me, pulling me closer to him. The abruptness of it made me forget to breathe, and even though he felt no warmer than I did, the strength of his arm wrapped around me sent warmth spreading through me.
I suppose I'm not much help,
he said. His voice low and deep. I've stopped shivering, I pointed out quietly.
We should get back inside so you can change into dry clothes.
He breathed deeply, looking at me a moment longer. Just as abruptly as he had grabbed me, he pulled away and started heading back down the bluff. The rain came down fast and cold, and without him to warm me, I had no urge to stay in it longer than I had to. I went down after him, half running, half sliding to the bottom. We ran inside the front doors, skidding on the marble floors, and water dripped off us into rapidly growing puddles. I only had a second to catch myself when I realized we weren't alone in the entryway. Alora walked toward us, carrying herself with her usual regality. Her gown swam around her, making her appear to float as she moved. With her was an obese, balding man, his jowls jiggling as he walked.
How good of you to arrive now, as I'm showing the Chancellor out,
Alora said icily, glaring at both Finn and me. I wasn't sure which of us she was more angry with.
Your Majesty, I can stay and talk,
the Chancellor said, looking up at her with small, fevered eyes. He wore a white suit that I couldn't imagine looking good on anyone, but it made him look like a giant, sweaty snowball.
Chancellor, I'm sorry we missed your visit,
Finn said, doing his best to compose himself. Even dripping wet, he looked collected and eager to please. I, on the other hand, hugged my arms around myself and tried not to shiver.
No, you've given me much to consider, and I don't want to waste your time further.
Alora smiled thinly at the Chancellor, and her eyes burned with contempt.
You will take it under advisement, then?
He looked up at her hopefully and stopped walking. She'd been trying to usher him to the door, and her smile grew strained when he stopped.
Yes, of course.
Alora sounded too sweet, and I assumed she was lying. I take all of your concerns very seriously.
My sources are very good,
the Chancellor went on. Alora had gotten him walking again, urging him closer to the door.
I have spies all over, even in the Vitray camps. That is how I got my position.
Yes, I remember your platform.
Alora appeared to suppress an eye roll, but his chest puffed up as if she'd complimented him.
If they say there's a plot, then there's a plot,
the Chancellor said with conviction. Next to me, I saw Finn tense up, narrowing his eyes at the Chancellor.
Yes, I'm sure there is.
Alora nodded to Finn, who held the door open for the Chancellor. I'd love to talk with you more, but you must hurry if you want to beat the worst of this storm. I don't want you to get stranded.
Oh, yes, quite right.
The Chancellor looked at the sheets of rain coming down, and his face paled slightly. He turned back toward Alora. Bowing, he took her hand and kissed it once.
My queen, I am at your service, always.
She smiled tightly at him while Finn wished him a safe journey. The Chancellor barely even glanced in my direction before diving out into the rain. Finn shut the door behind him, and Alora let out a sigh of relief.
What were you doing?
Alora looked at me with disdain, but before I could answer, she waved me off.
I don't care. You're just lucky the Chancellor didn't realize you were the princess.
I glanced down at my dirty, soaking wet clothes, knowing I looked nothing like royalty. Somehow Finn still looked high class, and I had no idea how he managed that.
What was the nature of the Chancellor's visit?
Finn asked.
Oh, you know the Chancellor.
Alora rolled her eyes and started walking away.
He always has some conspiracy theory brewing. I should really change the laws so I have total say about who is appointed the Chancellor, instead of letting the Trill vote. The people always fall for idiots like him.
He mentioned something about a Vitray plot,
Finn pressed. He followed her, staying a few steps behind, and I trailed in their wake.
I'm sure it's nothing. We haven't had Vitray come into Foretening in years,
Alora said with an eerie confidence.
Yes, but with the princess,
Finn began, but she held up her hand, silencing him. She turned to him, and by the look on her face, I knew she was speaking in his mind. After a minute, he took a deep breath and spoke.
All I am proposing is that we take extra precautions, have extra guards on duty.
That's why you're around, Finn.
She smiled at him, something that almost looked genuine, but with a weird, malicious edge to it.
It's not just for your pretty face.
Your Majesty, you put too much faith in me.
Now that I can believe.
Alora sighed and started walking away.
Go change out of those clothes. You're dripping all over everything.
Finn watched her retreating figure for a minute, and I waited next to him until I was certain she was out of earshot. Although, if I thought about it, I wasn't sure that Alora was ever out of earshot.
What was that about? I whispered.
Nothing.
Finn shook his head. He glanced over at me, almost as if he'd forgotten I was there.
You need to change before you get sick.
That wasn't nothing. Is there going to be an attack?
I demanded, but Finn only turned and started walking toward the stairs.
What is it with you people? You're always walking away from questions.
You're soaking wet, Wendy,
Finn said matter-of-factly, and I jogged to catch up to him, knowing he wouldn't wait for me.
And you heard everything I heard. You know what I know.
That's not true. I know she did that creepy mind speak with you.
Yes, but she only told me to keep quiet. He climbed the stairs without looking back at me. You'll be safe. You're the princess, the most important asset this kingdom has right now. And Alora won't risk you. She just hates the Chancellor.
Are you sure I'm safe? I asked, and I couldn't help but think of that painting in Alora's hidden room. The one that showed me terrified and reaching for nothing.
I would never do anything to put you at risk, Finn assured me when we reached the top of the stairs.
He gestured down the hall to my room.
We still have much to go over. It'd be best if you forgot about this and changed into something warmer.
Chapter 15. Education. After I had changed, Finn directed me to a sitting room on the second floor, down the hall from my room. The vaulted ceiling had a mural, all clouds and unicorns and angels. Despite that, the furniture looked modern and normal, unlike the expensive antiques that filled most of the house. Finn explained that this had once been Reese's playroom. When he'd outgrown it, they had turned it into a room for him, but he rarely used it. Lying on my back on the couch, I stared up at the ceiling. Finn sat in an overstuffed chair across from me with a book splayed open on his lap. Stacks of texts sat on the floor next to him, and he tried to give me a crash course on Trill history. Unfortunately, despite the fact that we were some type of mythical creatures, Trill history wasn't any more exciting than human history had been.
What are the roles of the Marquis and Marxina? Finn quizzed me.
I don't know. Nothing,
I replied glibly. Wendy, you need to learn this.
Finn sighed.
There will be conversations at the ball, and you need to appear knowledgeable. You can't just sit back without saying anything anymore.
I'm a princess. I should be able to do whatever I want, I grumbled. My legs were draped over the arm of the couch, and I swung my feet back and forth.
What are the roles of the Marquis and Marxina? Finn repeated.
In other provinces where the king and queen don't live, the Marquis and Marxina are the leaders. They're like governors or something. I shrugged. In times when the king or queen can't fulfill their duties, a Marquis can step up and take their place. In places like Fort Eatning, their title is mostly just a way of saying that they're better than everyone else, but they don't really have any power.
That is true. But you can't say that last part, Finn said,
then flipped a page in the book.
What is the role of the Chancellor?
The Chancellor is an elected official, much like the Prime Minister in England, I answered tiredly. The monarchy has the final word and wields the most power, but the Chancellor serves as their advisor and helps give the Trill commoners a voice in the way the government is run.
But I don't get it, I said, looking at him. We live in America, and this isn't a separate country. Don't we have to follow their laws?
Theoretically, yes. And for the most part, Trill laws coincide with American laws. Except that we have more of them. However, we live in separate pockets unto ourselves. Using our resources, namely cash and persuasion, we can get government officials to look the other way, and we conduct our business in private.
I twirled a lock of hair on my finger and thought over what he was saying. Do you know everything about Trill society? When you were talking with Garrett and Alora, it was like there was nothing you didn't know.
I'm sure he would have easily won the Kroners over if he had tried. Instead, he had assumed it was his role to hide in the background when they were around, so he'd kept his mouth shut.
But everything about him was more refined than me. Cool, collected, intelligent, charming and handsome. He seemed much more like a leader than I did.
A foolish man thinks he knows everything. A wise man knows he doesn't.
Finn replied absently, still looking down at the book.
That's such a fortune cookie answer, I said with a laugh, and even he smirked at me.
But seriously, Finn, this doesn't make any sense. You should be a ruler, not me. I don't know anything, but you're all set to go.
I'll never be a ruler. Finn shook his head. And you are right for the job. You just haven't had the training that I've had.
That's stupid, I grumbled. It should be based on your abilities, not lineage.
It is based on abilities, Finn insisted. They just happen to come with lineage.
What are you talking about? I asked, and he shut the book on his lap.
Your persuasion? That comes from your mother, Finn elaborated. The Marquis and Marxina are what they are because of the abilities they have, and they are passed down through their children. Regular Trill have some abilities, but they've faded with time. Your mother is one of the most powerful queens we've had in a very long time, and the hope is that you will continue the tradition of power.
But I can barely do anything, I sat up. I have mild persuasion, and you said it wouldn't even work on you.
Not yet, no. But it will, Finn corrected me. Once you start your training, it will make more sense to you.
Training? What training?
After the ball this weekend. Then you will begin working on your abilities,
Finn said.
Right now, your only priority is preparing for the ball. So?
He flipped open the book again, but I wasn't ready to go back to studying.
But you have abilities, I countered. And Allura prefers you to me. I'm sure she'd like it better if you were prince.
I realized, sadly, that that was true, and I lay back down on the couch.
I'm sure that isn't true.
It is too, I said. What is the deal with you and Allura? She definitely likes you better than me, and she seems to confide in you.
Allura doesn't really confide in anyone.
Finn fell silent for a moment, and then exhaled.
If I explain this to you, do you promise to get back to studying?
Yes, I answered immediately and looked over at him.
What I say to you cannot leave this room. Do you understand?
Finn asked gravely, and I nodded, gulping, afraid of what he was going to tell me. I had been growing more and more preoccupied with Finn and Allura's relationship. She was an attractive older woman, and he was definitely a foxy guy, and I could see her digging her cougar claws into him. That was what I was afraid of anyway.
About 16 years ago, after your father was gone, my father came under the employ of your mother. He had retired from tracking, and Allura hired him to guard her and the estate.
His eyes darkened, and his lips tightened, and my heart raced.
Allura was in love with my father. No one knew, except for my mother, who is still married to him. Eventually, my mother convinced him to leave. However, Allura remained quite fond of my father, and, in turn, rather fond of me.
He sighed and continued casually, as if he were talking about the weather.
She has personally requested my services over the years, and because she pays well, I have accepted.
I stared at him, feeling nauseous and nervous. Since his father became involved with my mother after I was born, I could safely assume that we weren't siblings. So at least that was something. Everything else made it feel rather disturbing, and I wondered if Finn secretly hated me. He had to hate Allura, and he must only be here because of how much she paid him. Then I wondered if he was some kind of glorified gigolo, and I had to fight to keep from vomiting.
I am not sleeping with her, and she has never made any advances of the sort,
Finn clarified, looking at me evenly.
She is fond of me because of her feelings for my father. I don't blame her for what happened between them. It was a long time ago, and my father was the one who had a family to think of, not her.
Huh. I looked up at the ceiling because it was easier than looking at him.
I have distressed you. I'm sorry.
Finn apologized sincerely.
This is why I was hesitant to say anything to you.
No, I'm fine. Let's just go on, I insisted unconvincingly. I have a lot to go over and all that. Finn remained silent for a minute, letting me absorb what he had just told me. But I tried to push it from my mind as quickly as possible. Thinking about it made me feel dirty, and I already had too much on my mind.
Eventually, Finn continued on with the texts, and I tried harder to pay attention. If I was thinking about what exactly a queen's job entailed, I wasn't thinking about my mother crushing on his father. Frederick von Elsen, the dress designer, came over the next day. He was excited and flamboyant, and I couldn't tell for sure whether or not he was Trill. I wore only a slip as he took my measurements and sketched like mad in a notepad. Finally, he declared that he had the perfect gown in mind, and he dashed out of my room to get working on it. All day long, there was an irritating succession of people. They were all staff of some kind, like caterers and party planners, so most of them ignored me. They just trailed after Alora as she rattled off an inconceivable amount of information about what she expected them to do, and they all scurried to write it down or punch it into their Blackberries. Meanwhile, I had the pleasure of camping out in my sweats all day. Whenever Alora saw me, she glared at my apparel with disgust, but she was always too busy making demands on somebody else to complain about me. Everything that I managed to overhear only made my coming out festivity sound even more terrifying. The most horrific thing I heard as she zipped by, "We'll need seating for at least 500. 500 people were going to be at a party where I would be the center of attention? Splendid. The only upside of the day was that I got to spend the entire thing with Finn. But that became less enjoyable because Finn refused to talk about anything that wasn't related to my performance at the party. We spent 2 hours going over the names and pictures of the more prominent guests. 2 whole hours spent poring over a yearbook-type thing, trying to memorize the faces, names, and notable facts of about 100 people. Then, there was the hour and a half spent at the dinner table. Apparently, I did not know how to eat properly. There were certain ways to hold the fork, tilt the bowl, lift the glass, and even place the napkin. Up until that time, I had never mastered any of those skills, and from what I gathered about the way Finn regarded me, I still hadn't. Eventually, I gave up. Pushing my plate back, I laid my head down and pressed my cheek against the cold wood of the table. "Oh my God! Has he killed you?" Willa asked, sounding appalled. I lifted my head to see her standing at the end of the dining room table, hands on her fashionable hips. She wore too much jewelry, her necklaces and bracelets overly adorned and jangly. But perhaps that was part of being a troll. They all seemed to have a fondness for trinkets, something I had somehow missed, other than my obsession with my thumb ring. "He bored me to death, too." Willa smiled at me, and I couldn't believe I felt relieved to see her. No way would she try to drill me about the names of the past 300 monarchs.
"And yet you look as alive as ever," Finn said dryly, leaning back in his chair. "Perhaps I didn't try hard enough with you."
"Is that some kind of burn, Stork?" Willa pulled back her lip in some kind of snide grimace, but she didn't completely pull it off.
"If you're feeling a burn, I suggest you look to your former sexual partners."
Finn gave her a small smile, and I gaped at him. I'd never heard him speak like that to anyone before. "Funny." Willa tried to keep a straight face, but I got the impression she was amused. "Anyway, I'm here to rescue the princess."
"Really?"
I asked a little too brightly.
"Rescue me how?"
"Fun stuff." She shrugged in a cute way, and I looked to Finn to see if I could leave.
"Go,"
he waved vaguely at me.
"You've worked hard and you need a break."
I didn't think I'd ever be happy to get away from Finn, but I nearly scampered after Willa. She looped her arm through mine, leading me away from the dining room and toward my room. I instantly felt bad about leaving Finn, but I couldn't take another lecture on silverware. Willa chatted with me the whole way to my room in one endless stream of commentary about how dreadful her first few weeks were. She'd been certain that Finn would stab her with a fork before they even made it through the dining service, or vice versa. "This is the worst part," she said solemnly as we walked into my bedroom. "The whole boot camp before the ball." She wrinkled her nose. "It's horrid."
Yeah, I'm not enjoying it, I admitted tiredly. But I made it through, so you'll definitely make it through. She walked into my bathroom, and when I didn't follow, she looked back at me. Are you coming? To the bathroom with you? To practice hairstyles. She gave me a duh look, and reluctantly I walked in after her. Out of the frying pan and into the fire. Hairstyles? I asked as Willa ushered me over to the stool in front of the vanity. Yeah, for the ball? She sifted through the hair products on the counter and stopped, meeting my eyes in the mirror. Unless your mother is going to help you with it. Not that I know of, I shook my head. She's definitely not the nurturing type, Willa agreed, somewhat sadly. Picking a bottle of something and a brush, she turned to me. Do you want your hair up or down? I don't know. I thought back to when I'd first met Willa, and Finn had told me to wear it down. Down, I guess. Good choice. She smiled and pulled out my hair tie, painfully taking my hair down. So, did Frederic come today? Yeah, a few hours ago, I said between gritted teeth as she raked a comb through my hair. Excellent, Willa said. When you have your fitting, you should take a picture and send it to me. I'd love to see what it looks like. Yeah, sure thing. I know how ridiculous and confusing everything is at first. Willa teased and primped my hair, all the while chatting happily. And Finn knows pretty much everything. But he can be a little cold at times. And I'm sure the Queen isn't much better. Not really, I admitted. But cold wouldn't be how I described Finn. Sometimes he was standoffish, but other times when he looked at me just so, he was anything but cold. I'm just letting you know that I want to help you. She stopped pulling at my hair long enough to meet my eyes in the mirror again. And not like that backstabbing bitch Aurora Kroner, or because my father told me to, although he did, or even like Finn because it's his job. I just know what it's like to be you, and if I can help, I want to. She gave me a crooked smile, and the sincerity in it startled me. Underneath her vapid pretense, she was actually a kind person. So few people here seem to genuinely care about anyone else, and it was nice to have finally found one. Immediately after that moment, Willa launched into a lengthy monologue about gowns. She could describe every gown she'd seen since coming to Forytning 3 years ago, and she only liked one or two of them. So my training with Willa didn't turn out to be that much more interesting than that with Finn. She had a lot more gossip about who dated whom and who was engaged and all that. But since I didn't know who any of the people were, it wasn't that interesting. Willa was thus far single, and it didn't sit well with her. She kept saying that her father needed to arrange something, and mentioned a few guys she'd had her eye on who'd slipped by. She spoke very fondly of Tuve Kroner. Although she did point out that by missing out on him, she'd also miss out on a monster of a mother-in-law. Still, by the end of the day, I had a hairstyle picked out, a makeup plan in order, and I felt like I knew a little bit more about Trill royalty. She made it all sound a lot like high school, which would have been comforting, except I hadn't done that well at high school. Chapter 16. Further Instruction. They had taken an interest in me, and I knew I should feel flattered, but I wished they'd just left me alone. Alora and Aurora Kroner stood on the opposite side of the table. A seating chart stretched across the giant oak surface, and they both leaned over it, staring with intense scrutiny. I had a feeling Alora had just dragged me with her because misery loves company. As for Aurora, I didn't really get why she was interested in me. The best I could figure was that she hoped to understand me in order to bring about my demise. The two big ways she smiled at me kept making me want to cringe. Finn had snuck into my room early in the morning, and my initial excitement faded when I saw how frantically he picked out my clothes. He instructed me to get ready with lightning speed and to be on my best behavior all day. I hated the way he treated me like I was 5 and it was my first day of kindergarten. But sitting there, watching them analyze every minute detail of a flippin' seating chart, I really felt like a 5-year-old. One who had gotten in trouble and had to sit in a very agonizing timeout. I tried to look studious and interested in all of this, but I didn't know any of these people. We were in the war room in the south wing where walls were plastered with maps. Red and green patches speckled all of them, indicating other tribes of trolls. I'd been trying to study them while Alora and Aurora talked, but Alora kept snapping my attention back every time it wandered.
If we put the Chancellor here, then Marquis Tormin will have to move from this table entirely.
Aurora tapped the paper.
I don't see another way around it.
Alora smiled as sweetly as she could manage, and Aurora matched it perfectly.
He's traveling a great distance to be here for this. Aurora batted her eyes at Alora.
He'll still be near enough where he can hear the christening, Alora said, and turned her attention to me.
Are you ready for the christening ceremony?
Yeah, I said.
Finn had mentioned it to me, but I hadn't been paying that much attention. I couldn't say that to Alora, though, so I just smiled and tried to look confident.
A princess doesn't say,
Alora narrowed her eyes at me, and Aurora did a poor job of trying to mask a snicker. I sighed. Sorry. Alora looked like she wanted to chastise me further, but Aurora watched us both like a hawk. Alora pursed her lips, biting her tongue so she wouldn't show any sign of weakness. I didn't understand what Aurora was doing here or what Alora had to fear from her. She was the queen, and as far as I could tell, Aurora's only ability seemed to be making backhanded compliments and veiled threats. The Marxina looked radiant, wearing a long burgundy gown that made me feel incredibly underdressed in a simple skirt. Aurora's beauty nearly overshadowed Alora's, and that was really saying something. But I don't think that kind of thing mattered to Alora.
Perhaps you should continue your training elsewhere, Alora suggested, glaring at me.
Yes, excellent idea.
I jumped to my feet so quickly, I almost knocked the chair over behind me. Aurora's amused expression changed to downright disgust, and Alora rolled her eyes.
Sorry, I'm very excited about all of this.
Contain yourself, princess.
Using restraint, I left the room as calmly as I could. I wanted to rush out, feeling much like a kid on the last day of school. I wasn't sure that I knew my way back, and I had no idea where Finn was. But as soon as I thought it was safe, I picked up my pace, nearly jogging away. I'd made it a little ways down the hall, past several closed doors, when somebody stopped me.
Princess!
A voice called from one of the few open doors. I stopped, tentatively peering inside the room. It appeared to be more of a den, with a lush red rug in the center, surrounded by leather chairs. One wall was made of glass, but the shades had been pulled shut over most of it, leaving the room in shadows. A heavy mahogany bar sat in the corner, and a man leaned in front of it, holding a glass in his hand. I squinted, trying to get a better look at him. His hair looked disheveled, and he was dressed nice, but casual.
Don't you recognize me, princess?
He had a smile in his voice, so I thought he might be teasing.
It's just hard to see, I said, stepping into the room.
Garrett Strome, Willa's father,
he told me, and I could see his grin widening.
Oh, right! It's good to see you.
I smiled back, feeling more at ease. I'd only met him at dinner the other night, but I liked him.
Can I help you with something?
Nope. I'm just waiting for your mother. But I'm assuming it'll be a long day, so I got a jump start.
Garrett motioned to the drink in his hand.
Nice.
Do you want something to drink?
Garrett offered.
I'm sure you need one, with Alora putting you through your paces.
I chewed my lip, thinking. I'd never drank before, other than a glass of wine with dinner. But after the last few days, I definitely could use something to take the edge off. However, Alora would kill me if she found out, and Finn would be more than disappointed in me. No, I'm good, I shook my head. Thanks, though.
Don't thank me. It's your liquor, he pointed out. You do look worn out. Why don't you take a load off?
All right. I shrugged and sat down in one of the chairs. The leather may have looked distressed, but the chair had the hard buoyancy of being brand new. I moved around, trying to get comfortable, before eventually giving up.
What is she having you do?
Garrett asked, sitting down across from me.
I don't know. She's making a seating chart.
I leaned my head against the back of the chair. I don't even know why she wanted me there, except to point out what I was doing wrong.
She just wants you to feel included in all of this,
Garrett said between sips of his drink. Well, I'd rather not be included, I muttered. Between her and Aurora giving me icy glares and judging everything I say and do, I'm perfectly happy to be left out.
Don't let her get to you,
Garrett advised.
Which one?
Both,
he said with a laugh. Sorry, I don't mean to dump on you.
Don't be sorry,
he shook his head.
I know how hard this can be, and I'm sure Alora isn't making it any easier on you.
She expects me to know everything and be perfect already. I haven't been here that long.
You're strong-willed. You get that from her, you know.
Garrett smiled.
And as strange as it sounds, everything she's doing is to protect you.
It was the first time anyone had drawn any kind of comparison between Alora and me, and it warmed me in a weird way. I realized that he was one of very few people I'd met who called her Alora instead of Queen, and I wondered exactly how well he knew her. Thanks, I said, unsure what else to say.
I heard Willa visited you last night.
His eyes settled on me. My vision had adjusted to the darkness of the room, and I could see the softness in his gaze. Yeah, she did. She's been very helpful.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
Garrett looked relieved at that, and I wondered what he'd been expecting me to say.
I know she can be a little...
He wagged his head, searching for the right word.
Willa, at times. But she means well.
Yeah, Finn filled me in.
I've been working on her to lighten up on the Manx, but it's a work in progress.
Why is she so hard on Rhiannon? I hadn't seen Willa talk to her much, but what little she said had been filled with jabs and snide remarks, even worse than Aurora's.
Rhiannon got to live with me 19 years before Willa did,
Garrett explained.
Willa's always been secretly afraid that I preferred Rhiannon over her. But the fact is, while I love Rhiannon, I only have one daughter.
I had never thought about him loving Rhiannon, or anyone loving the Mainskleague left behind. I looked in the direction of the war room, as if I could see Alora through the wall. I couldn't imagine her loving anyone. But the only babies among the Trill elite were Mainskleague, and at some point, parental instincts had to take over. Certainly not with everyone, but it made sense that some, like Garrett, would feel as if the child they raised was their own. Do you think Alora loves Rhys? I asked.
I think Alora is an incredibly hard woman to get close to,
Garrett allowed carefully. Then he smiled at me.
I know she loves you, though.
Yeah, I can tell, I said dryly, unwilling to even consider what he'd said, let alone believe it. I'd been burned by enough crazy moms already.
She speaks very fondly of you. When you're not around, of course.
He gave a small chuckle. Something about the way he said that,
I felt a sense of intimacy in it.
An image flashed before me. Alora sitting at her vanity, wearing a robe and putting on jewelry. Garrett was behind her, still lying in her bed with the sheets covering him. She made some offhand comment about me being prettier than she expected, and before he could agree, she told him he needed to hurry and get dressed. I shook my head, clearing it of the thought.
"Are you dating Alora?"
I asked directly, even though I already knew the answer.
"I definitely wouldn't call it dating,"
he scoffed and took a long drink.
"Let me put it this way. I'm about as close to her as anyone can get. Well, at least anyone can get now."
"Now?" I furrowed my brow. "What do you mean by that?"
"Alora wasn't always the cool, collected queen you know and fear."
There was a bitter edge to his words, and I wondered how long he'd been seeing her. Had it been while she was married to my father? Or when she was in love with Finn's father?
"What made her change?" I asked.
"The same thing that makes everyone change. Experience."
He turned his glass in his hands, admiring what little liquor he had left.
"What happened to my father?"
"You're really digging deep, aren't you?"
Garrett cocked an eyebrow at me.
"I do not have enough alcohol for this conversation."
He knocked back the rest in one swallow.
"Why? What happened?"
I pressed, leaning forward in my chair.
"It was a very long time ago."
He took a deep breath, still looking down.
"And Alora was devastated."
"She really loved him then?"
I still found it weird to think that she'd ever loved anyone. She didn't seem capable of any emotion deeper than anger.
"I honestly don't know. I didn't know her that well back then."
Garrett abruptly got up from his chair and walked over to the bar.
"My wife was still alive, and we only had a casual acquaintance with the queen."
He poured himself another drink, keeping his back to me.
"If you want to know more about all of this, you'll have to talk to Alora."
"She won't tell me anything."
I sighed and leaned back in the chair.
"Some things are better forgotten,"
Garrett mused. He took a long drink, still keeping his back to me, and I realized belatedly that I'd upset him.
"Sorry," I stood up.
I didn't know how to correct the situation, so I thought leaving might be the best way to fix it. He shook his head.
"No need to be sorry."
"I should get back anyway."
I edged toward the door.
"Finn is probably looking for me by now."
Garrett nodded.
"Probably."
I'd almost made it out the door when he stopped me.
"Princess?"
He turned his head to the side, so shadows darkened his profile.
"Laura's hard on you because she's afraid to care about you. But she'll fight to the death for you."
"Thanks," I mumbled.
The light in the hallway felt too bright after the dimness of the den. I didn't know what I'd said that had upset Garrett so much. Maybe bringing up memories of his dead wife. Or maybe reminding him that while Alora couldn't openly care for him now, she had cared once for another man. I tried to push away the confusion Garrett had made me feel. I wasn't sure if I could trust the things he'd said about Alora. I didn't think he was a liar, but he'd wanted to make me feel better. Convincing me that I had a mother who actually loved me probably would help, but I had long since stopped holding out for that dream. I found Finn in the front hall, directing several of Alora's aides with the planning for the ball. He had his back to me, so he didn't notice me right away. I stood there for a moment, just watching him direct and take control. He knew exactly what to do with everything, and I couldn't help but admire him for it.
"Princess."
Finn caught sight of me when he glanced over his shoulder. Then he turned fully to me with a smile. An aide asked him something, and he gestured vaguely to the dining hall before walking over to me.
"How did this morning go?"
I shrugged. "It could have been worse."
That doesn't sound promising. He raised an eyebrow. But I suppose you've earned a bit of a reprieve.
A reprieve? It was my turn to look skeptical.
Yeah. I thought we'd do something fun for a while.
Finn smiled. Fun? I remembered yesterday how he'd tried to convince me his mind-numbing training had been fun. Do you mean fun-fun, or do you mean looking at pictures for 2 hours fun? Or using a fork 101 fun?
Something that at least resembles actual fun,
Finn answered.
Come on.
Chapter 17. Jealousy. As Finn led me down a hall to the south wing, I realized that I'd never seen any of this before. When Garrett had teased Allura about this being a palace, he wasn't kidding. There were so many places I had yet to see. It was astounding. Finn gestured to a few rooms, pointing out the library, meeting halls where business was conducted, the opulent dining hall where we would hold the dinner on Saturday, and then, finally, the ballroom. Pushing open the doors, which seemed to be 2 stories high, Finn led me into the grandest room I had ever seen. Massive and exquisite, the ceiling seemed to stretch on forever, thanks in part to the fact that the entire thing was skylight. Gold beams ran across it, holding up glittering diamond chandeliers. The floors were marble, the walls were off-white with gold detailing, and it looked every bit the ballroom from a Disney fairy tale. The decorators had started bringing things in, and stacked chairs and tables now leaned against one of the walls. Tablecloths, candlesticks, and all sorts of decorations were piled around them. The only other thing in the room was a white grand piano sitting in the opposite corner. Otherwise, the room was empty except for Finn and me. I hated how taken I was with the splendor. I hated even more that the room was so magnificent and I looked like I did. My hair was in a messy bun, and my skirt felt far too plain. Finn wasn't exactly dressed to the nines either, but his standard button-down shirt and dark wash jeans looked much more fitting. So what's the fun part? I asked, and my voice echoed off the walls.
Dancing.
Finn's lip twitched with a smile, and I groaned.
I've danced with you before, and I know that it needs some improvement.
The slow circles don't cut it? I grimaced.
Unfortunately, no. A proper waltz should be enough, though. If you can master that, you'll be set for the ball on Saturday.
No. My stomach dropped as I realized something. I'm going to have to dance with these people, aren't I? Like strangers and old men and weird handsy boys? Finn laughed at that, but I wanted to curl up in a ball and die.
I could lie to you, but to be honest, those are probably the only people who will ask you to dance,
Finn admitted with a wry smirk. You're enjoying this more than I've ever seen you enjoy anything, I said, and that only deepened his smile. Well, I'm glad you find this funny, me being felt up by complete strangers and tripping all over them. What a great time.
It won't be so bad.
He motioned for me to come over.
If you learn the basic steps, at least you won't be tripping over them.
I sighed loudly and walked over to him. Most of my trepidation about dancing with strangers melted away the instant Finn took my hand in his. It suddenly occurred to me that before I had to dance with them, I got to dance with him. After a few directions from him and a rough start by me, we were dancing. His arm was around me, strong and reassuring. He instructed me to keep my eyes locked on his so I wouldn't get in the habit of watching my feet while I danced. But I wouldn't have looked anywhere else anyway. His dark eyes always mesmerized me. We were supposed to keep a certain distance between our bodies, but I found it impossible. His body nearly pressed against mine, and I delighted in the sensation. I was certain we weren't going as fast as we should, but I didn't care. This moment with him seemed entirely too perfect to be real.
Right, okay.
Finn suddenly stopped and took a step away from me. Disappointed, I let my hands fall to the side.
You've got that down pretty well. But there's going to be music, so you should see how you do with that.
Okay, I said unsurely.
Why don't I play the piano, and you count out the steps yourself?
Finn had already started backing away to the piano, and I wondered what I had done wrong that made him stop so suddenly.
That might be a better way for you to learn.
Okay, I shrugged uncertainly. I thought I was doing fine before.
We weren't going fast enough. The music will help you keep time.
I frowned at him, wishing he would just come back and dance with me. I remembered how he once told me I was a terrible dance partner, and wondered if maybe that was the problem. He sat down at the piano and started playing a beautiful, elaborate waltz. Of course he could play. He could do anything. I just stood there staring at him until he directed me to start dancing. I whirled around on the dance floor, but it definitely wasn't as fun as it had been with him. In fact, it wasn't really that fun at all. It might have been if I weren't trying to figure out what I did wrong that always made Finn back away from me. It was hard to concentrate on that, though, when Finn kept barking out corrections at me. Funny, he hadn't noticed any of my mistakes when we'd been dancing together. Nope. That's it, I panted after what felt like an eternity. My feet and legs were getting sore, and a sheen of sweat covered my body. I had had my fill of dancing for the day. I sat down heavily on the floor, then leaned back, sprawling out on the cool marble.
Wendy, it hasn't even been that long, Finn insisted.
Don't care. I'm out. I breathed deeply and wiped the sweat from my forehead.
Haven't you ever worked at anything? Finn complained.
He got up from the piano bench and walked over to me so he could lecture me up close.
This is important.
I'm aware. You tell me every second of every day.
I do not.
Finn crossed his arms and looked down at me. This is the hardest I've ever worked at anything, I said, staring back up at him. Everything else I've quit before this, or I never even tried. So don't tell me I'm not putting effort into this.
You've never tried harder than this? At anything?
Finn asked incredulously, and I shook my head.
That brother you had never made you do anything?
Not really, I admitted thoughtfully. He made me go to school, I guess, but that's about it. Matt and Maggie encouraged me to do many things, but there was very little they actually made me do.
They spoiled you more than I thought.
Finn looked surprised at that. They didn't spoil me, I sighed, then quickly amended. They didn't spoil me rotten. Not the way Willa was spoiled, and I'm sure a lot of the other changelings were. They just wanted me to be happy.
Happiness is something you work for, Finn pointed out.
Oh, stop with that fortune cookie crap, I scoffed. We worked for it just like anybody else. They were just really careful with me, probably because my mom tried to kill me. It set them up to treat me more gently than they would have otherwise.
How did your mother try to kill you?
Finn asked, startling me. I hadn't told him much about it, but he rarely wanted to talk about my past. It was my birthday, and I was being my usual bratty self. I was angry because she'd gotten me a chocolate cake, and I hated it, I said. We were in the kitchen, and she snapped. She started chasing after me with this giant knife. She called me a monster, and then she tried to stab me, but she just managed to cut my stomach pretty badly. Then my brother Matt rushed in and tackled her, saving my life.
She cut open your stomach?
Finn furrowed his brow with concern. Yeah. I pulled up my shirt, revealing the scar that stretched across it. Immediately after I'd done that, I regretted it. Lying on the floor and flashing Finn the fattest part of my body did not seem like a good idea. Finn crouched on the floor next to me, and tentatively his fingertips traced along the mark etched on my belly. My skin quivered underneath his touch, and nervous warmth spread through me. He continued to stare intently at the scar. Then he laid his hand flat on my belly, covering it. His skin felt hot and smooth, and inside, my stomach trembled with butterflies. He blinked, and, seeming to realize what he was doing, he pulled his hand back and got to his feet. Quickly, I pulled my shirt back down. I didn't even feel that comfortable lying down anymore, so I sat up and fixed my bun.
"Matt saved your life?"
Finn asked, filling that semi-awkward silence that had shrouded us. He still had a contemplative look on his face, and I wished I knew what he was thinking. "Yeah," I got to my feet. "Matt always protected me, ever since I could remember."
"Hmm."
Finn looked thoughtfully at me.
"You bonded so much more with your host family than the changelings normally do."
"Host family?" I grimaced. "You make me sound like a parasite." Then I realized that I probably was. They had dropped me off with the Everlys so I would use their resources, their money, their opportunities, and bring them back here. That's exactly what a parasite did.
"You're not a parasite," Finn said. "They loved you, and you genuinely love them in return. It is unusual, but that's not a bad thing. In fact, it's a very good thing. Maybe it's given you a compassion that trail leaders have been lacking for a very long time."
"I don't think I'm very compassionate," I shook my head.
"I see how it bothers you the way Allura talks to people. Allura thinks the only way to command respect is to command fear. But I have a feeling that you will have an entirely different way of ruling."
"And how will I rule?" I arched my eyebrow at him.
"That is for you to decide," Finn said simply.
He ended our lesson after that, saying I needed to rest up for tomorrow. The day had exhausted me, and I was eager to curl up in my blankets and sleep until Sunday, straight through the ball and all the angst that accompanied it. Sleep didn't come easy, though. I found myself tossing and turning, thinking about the way it felt dancing with Finn and his hand resting warmly on my stomach. But I would always end up thinking of Matt and how much I still missed him. I had expected that to lessen the longer I was here, but it only seemed to get worse. After all this, I really needed to know that someone had my back and cared about me unconditionally. I woke up early the next morning. Actually, I'd been waking up all night long, and at 6, I finally just gave up. I got up with the intention of sneaking downstairs to grab a bite to eat, but when I hit the top of the stairs, Reese came barreling up them to meet me, chomping on a baby.